I'm Jared Whateley. Here's a snapshot of Wednesday, May 25. Patrick Dangerfield shared his concerns over a recurring calf injury.
I'm just frustrated because you go through, you get through pre-season personally feeling really good, and then you have a few hiccups along the way. And I've been really very fortunate throughout my entire career that I haven't had too many sort of periods like this where it's been one thing after another. But unfortunately, that was sort of the situation last year, and it's been a bit of this year. So it's probably just mentally getting yourself in that headspace of, well, this has happened. Now it's control what you can, and that's your training external to playing to get back. So, you know, individually, you're right to go. So it's just wrapping, you know, my own head around that and the fact that you can't necessarily push through some things that you could at one stage in your career when you're a little bit younger and you didn't have the same sort of little niggles at different stages, or you may have, but your body was able to recover quicker.
Luke Hodge on the lack of stability at North Melbourne.
What it shows to me is just they're not on the same page, and that's what you do want is from the foundation going up. Is if you're going to rebuild a football club, you need to start with everyone agreeing with what we need to start with and go from there. So for three recruiters to walk out at the same time, clearly their mindset's totally different from either coaches or GM or anything else and where their focus is. So that would be the biggest thing. And this could work out as a positive for North Melbourne, the fact that if they bring in three recruiters that have the same mindset as the current coach and GM, then all of a sudden people are on the right page and we can move forward without these arguments or what was the word that was thrown around? Lack of support. So, yeah, as I said, it just doesn't look good for the club considering there's been so much talk about with obviously Nobes and the relationship with the players and all the change that they've had so far.
Jacob Wietering stood Lance Franklin for the first time.
If I'm being honest, I was pretty nervous. It was the first time I was going to be playing or starting on Buddy. So I think I'd only played a half in previous years against him, and we've had guys like Alex Silvani and Liam Jones that have done really good jobs on him. So, and going into Indigenous round, I guess there's an external factor that there's a little bit more pressure to it. And it was a Friday night game. So again, I guess the factors keep building. And for me, I didn't really change too much in terms of my preparation, training on the Tuesday, Thursday, made sure I watched plenty of vision, understood how he gets the ball. You saw in that third quarter when he kicked that goal from 70, they're the sort of goals that are hard to stop. But again, I sort of went back to my strengths. So I tried to be physical with him, made sure I was taking his lead up space and at the same time still playing team defence. And that's probably a trait that all our defenders and all our team is really buying into at the moment. It's been super.
I asked Ray Chamberlain about the spate of dangerous tackle decisions on the weekend.
The fundamental premise of dangerous tackle is about, and the players and the clubs, you know, we go out and they get information from the AFL and then we go to Clubland for training and answer questions. It's all around duty of care and protection of the head.
Specifically the head.
Yeah. So you can, it's a fierce game. These guys are so brave and they smash each other. And I umpire, and when I say these guys, I'm talking about AFLW, I'm talking about AFL. These are the codes that, these are the competitions that I get to umpire in. The fierce contest of the ball is extraordinary, right? But so you're still allowed to do those things. But we look at things like head in a vulnerable position, excessive rotation, if the legs are lifted. Now, it doesn't have to get beyond the horizontal, but that type of look. If an arm or arms are pinned in the tackle, now all of a sudden you've executed a tackle by grabbing the wrist or the arms. Now you've got a little bit more duty of care associated because that player, by that very nature of your tackle, can't defend or protect their head as you take them to the ground. So you're allowed to pin the arms. You're allowed to pin the hand. But if you do, and then you twist them and sling them into the ground, now all of a sudden that player's head's in a vulnerable position and we've got an increased chance of an injury or a concussion. Okay, so that's the overall premise that we're trying to implement. We're protecting the head and the tackler has a duty of care. You can tackle hard as you like. That's still fine.
And Mark on the Gold Coast shared this pearl of wisdom.
I always believe most answers to all football's problems can be found within the 1989 grand final. great style of game. Umpires paid free kicks and paid them quickly. There was 50 for the game in the 89 grand final. So on the weekend, 63, I think, in Hawthorn, Brisbane. But we all loved the game. The game flowed really quickly. The decisions, whether they were right or wrong, happened really quickly. And the end, everyone's talking about what a great game it was. I just kind of think that the volume of free kicks, I don't believe, is an issue. I think the one great thing we're not seeing is that rolling maul of tackle after tackle with no free kick, which I believe slows the game down.
And that's just a snapshot. The full program and all interviews are available through the Waitley podcast. Subscribe at sen.com.au.